Good evening. Have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading together. We'll be reading tonight from verses 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And then we'll pray. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity that we can come and gather around your word. I just pray, Father, that you will just work in through me at this time, and you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray that you'll teach us, help us just to have hearing ears and hearts that will respond to your words. For it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. When Pastor told me to preach, the pressure was on. I need to preach the last sermon of 2012. And I tried that. I tried not to make that get to me, but it did. But the Lord led me to this portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and I really prayed over it, and I was trying to get out, like, what would you have me to preach, Lord? And what I want to speak to you about this evening is unity. But unity in the sense of the body of Christ, and in specifically about our church. And here, I just want to look at tonight the principles of unity, especially in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this theme in most of Paul's letters to the churches. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, he says, "Be of the same mind, one towards another." In chapter 15, he goes, "Be like-minded, one towards another. And that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There to the church at Philippi, Paul writes that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The church of Corinth, he writes that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. And so on. He continues to have this theme of being of the same mind, going in the same direction, being of one accord. And you see repeatedly in the book of Acts that the brethren there, they continued in one accord. And the Lord used them mightily because they were unified as a body which God planned. And in the book of Corinthians it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And it pleases God to set you as a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. That is, if you are a member. And it pleases God for you to be a member. And he desires that we all be unified. And as Pastor preached this morning, yes, there would be tensions and people will believe, like not believe in the same, in different things, but there would be tension about some things because there's a bunch of people in one area. There is tension. But it is so important that the body of Christ, that we gather together as a whole, we regroup, and that so we may move forward in 2013, not for our glory, but for God's glory. And God is able to use us, but only if we are unified as a body. And I just want to point out some principles that the Lord taught me from the Word, from His Word. And these principles, I just want us to apply to our lives that we may move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ in 2013. First principle we see is in verse number 1. Paul introduces himself. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 focuses on the grace of God. Not only are we saved by grace, but His grace enables us to continue on for Him. But we see in verse 1 that in verse 1 of this chapter that he says that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And here the vocation, the word vocation is divine calling, the calling. And we are called into this body of Christ, and our title and our position is as Christians, right? We are known as Christians. If you're a believer, you are a Christian. And the thing is, we need to walk worthy of that title, of that position. And we don't need a bunch of Christians doing what the world's doing, okay? And all of a sudden they're doing and they smell and they act like the world, but we're just, oh, we're Christians. We're Christians. We need to take the higher ground if we want to move forward for the Lord in 2013. And it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. Let's focus on our body. The Lord has placed us here. This is His body that He's placed, and we need to work together but taking the higher ground so we are unified and going forward. The first thing we see is that position. The first principle is position, and I want us to think of our position as servants of Jesus Christ. Here Paul introduces himself in verse 1, that he says that I am the prisoner of the Lord. And the letter to the church at Ephesus was written from a prison cell. And Paul was writing and he introduced himself as the prisoner of the Lord. He understood his position. He could have said, I'm the prisoner of Rome. But no, he understood that the Lord Jesus Christ placed him and it was the will of God for him to be in prison. So he introduced himself as a prisoner. And my friend today, can I just tell you and just remind you that I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we all have that position of if we all understand that the position, my position before God is just a servant of the Lord, we can be unified. Let me tell you, because when there is a servant, he's given all his rights to the master. He has no rights. And we are bought with the price, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, is it not? Somebody say amen again, please. We're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we think of ourselves anything other than the servants of Jesus Christ, there's an issue. There's a pride issue that we need to deal with. The greatest example of all, if you turn with me to Philippians, and I love this portion of Scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, the Bible says that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But this is speaking about the Lord Jesus, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And my friend, if the Lord Jesus can take the form of a servant, leave his heavenly home and all of his glory, come walk on this earth and know that he's going to go and go straight to a rugged cross and die for the sins of the whole world. And not only would he be forsaken by the ones that he discipled and he invested in, but he would be on that cross and he would say, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken by God the Father. And everything, all of that was because of us and because of our sin. And we want to think of ourselves anything other than a servant. And we have in Christianity today, we have position, the position has been, of man has been placed above Jesus Christ. It's a danger. And may not be said of our church that we glorify man, that may our actions, may our speech, may it all glorify Jesus Christ. Our position. If we want to keep the unity, especially in this body, we need to make sure that we all take our position, and our position is a servant of Jesus Christ. If you look with me to verses back to our Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, he says for them to walk, so he commands them to walk, Paul, and in verses 2 and 3, he tells them how to walk. He says, walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This word endeavoring is to make an effort. It means to make an effort. And for us to keep the unity in this body, we all need to make an effort. It's not only pastor's job. It's not only pastor's wife's job. It's not only the associate pastor. It's all of us need to make an effort. And sometimes it's easier when you see a conflict or you see something going on, it's easier just to let it go because you know what? Don't worry, it'll blow over. Just let it go. But no, we need to make an effort to keep the unity the Bible teaches. But there's one thing that we need to realize, that with all lowliness, he tells us to walk with all lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, and he says forbear one another in love. And what the Bible teaches is, brings us to our second principle, is that our motivation and our drive and our desire is, it all should be motivated by love. Our love for God and also love for others. So here we see, if you turn with me to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. First principle we see is our position. We need to take our position as servants of Jesus Christ to keep the unity. Second thing we need to understand is that we need to, our motivation and our desire is love. Love for God, but also love for others. In Matthew, you just stay on John, but I'll just read Matthew chapter 22. Jesus was asked, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these are the two commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is what I want you to do. Love God with all of your being, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And what more excuse that we should love the brethren as well, especially in our church. For us to keep the unity, we need to make sure that we love one another. And everything that we do should be out of a heart of love. And the thing is that if you're struggling with love, and you're struggling with, sometimes I'm unlovable, sometimes you're unlovable, we're all unlovable at times. But if we struggle with love, we just need to go back to the cross and look at our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look at chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if you go to verses 12 to 13, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ not only laid down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for the enemies. We're enemies with God because of our sin, separated from God because of our sin. And then God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place. And he died for his enemy. No wonder he could say to the disciples, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you. This is different. But with the love of Christ, we can do this. And for us to move forward in 2013, we need to love one another, brethren. And it's sad because in our day, we have to tell Christians to love. It's very sad and discouraging. But it's so important that our motivation is with a heart of love. And if you love God, let me tell you, if you love God, it's easy to love others. You put God first in your life and you love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with your whole being, it's easy to love others. So our first principle we see of unity, we see that our position is a servant of the King, of the Lord Jesus. And our motivation, our second principle is the motivation, and all our motivation should be because of love. Love for God and love for others. If you've, from verses 7 to 10 on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. So he goes on, Paul goes on to say, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he gives a summary of the unity of the faith, so to speak. He speaks of there's one Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. There's one hope of your calling, the hope that we have as believers that Christ is coming again one day. And the hope that we have of eternity in heaven. He goes on and he says that there's one faith, and that's faith in Jesus Christ alone that saves us. One baptism, and that speaks of the baptism that of the Holy Spirit at the point of conversion, at the point of salvation. And he sums it up and he says there's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. And he just gives the conclusion that, okay, there is this completeness in the God that we serve. And then he goes on and says in verses 7 to 10, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verses 9 and 10 speaks about Jesus Christ and his ascension from heaven to earth and then his ascension back to heaven. But I just want to draw your attention to verses 7 and 8. There's a strong contrast, because all of a sudden Paul is speaking about the unity of the faith and there's one and we need to be unified together and all of this. And then he goes, but in verse 7, there's but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he speaks of the responsibility that although we are one body, but we have a responsibility of the spiritual gifts that God gives us to impart to the church for the edifying of the body. So here we see that although we are one, each member has a responsibility. And verse 16 sums it up very well. For whom the whole body, speaking about Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every joint supplier, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this is just talking about that every single person has a responsibility to fulfill for the body to function as a whole. And for the body to be edified and built up, we need to all take our, we all have a responsibility to fulfill, and that's spiritual gifts that we have. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 6. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And then in verse 6 he goes, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he continues on and he speaks about the gifts that were given to us. The thing about this is that we have a responsibility, and the responsibility is the spiritual gifts that we impart. God not only in verses, sorry, go back to our text, let me explain it to you. Verses 7 and 8. In verse 8 he says, wherefore he saith, Okay, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And Paul uses the illustration of a triumphant warrior who is elevated when he returns with his host of prisoners, receiving gifts from the conquered people and distributing gifts to his followers. So this is a warrior who's just fought a battle, and he returns with the spoil of the land, and he comes and he gives the conquering nation, he gives them all these gifts. And this was a thing that happened in battle during Bible times. And it was a fitting picture for Christ who conquered Satan and all that he had conquered for us. Not only does he save us through by his cross and by his blood and his sacrifice, but when he saves us by his grace, and then by his grace he gives us gifts for the purpose that the body can be unified and can be built up and edified. So it's so important that we understand if we want to be unified in 2013 that we need to use our spiritual gifts for God's glory but for the benefit of the body. So the first thing, principle we see is the principle that our position, we need to make sure that our position is right and that we see ourselves as a prisoner or a servant of Jesus Christ. Our second principle we see is for unity is the motivation should be love. And the third principle we see is the responsibility. Our responsibility is that we have spiritual gifts and we use them for God's glory. And the thing is about spiritual gifts is that you need to be spirit-filled for them to outflow in a way which is pleasing to God. And we've got this confusion that we think that with the spiritual gifts that we have, it happens automatically and all the time. Yes, it may be the case. But the time that you are spirit-filled as a Christian and walking in the Spirit, that is the best time that your gift will be used for His glory. Everyone here has at least one gift, according to 1 Peter. But the moment that we stop walking in the Spirit, then yet we cannot impart our spiritual gifts as God wants it. So then you think about the unity and you think about what's lacking. Each individual here needs to walk with God all the time, needs to walk in the Spirit all the time, because the moment that you stop doing that or I stop doing that is the moment that I cannot impart my spiritual gift to the best of the ability, and someone in this church may need that. And to stop and think about that, when I was studying it, I'm thinking, wow, it is important not only for pastor to always be spiritual and walk in the Spirit, but it's important for every single individual, for the benefit of the church family, amen, for them to walk in the Spirit. Amen. If you look with me to verse 11 to 15, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Paul continues to go on, and he says that every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he speaks of Christ, His ascension and descension from heaven. And then he goes on and he specifically outlines the position that He gives to the church. So he says He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And Paul points out the offices of the ones that have got the word of God and impart it to the body, so to speak. For example, here the apostles, they had the responsibility of sharing Christ, going forth and spreading the word. The prophets, in this context, it's speaking about one that gets direct revelation from God and shares the word of God with others, which no longer exists according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. It says, prophecy they shall fail, because that which is perfect will come, speaking of the word of God. But the two offices that we have is evangelists and pastors and teachers, and pastors and teachers in this context is linked. In other areas of the Scripture, it's separate, but pastors and teachers is linked here. And it says here that it's given for three reasons: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he specifically says that He gave. If you look at verse 11, he says He gave. And my friend, He gave us a pastor. He put pastor here. And The fourth point I want to speak to you about is if there is to be unity in Metropolitan Baptist Church, we need to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives. And it comes to you as well, children, and me as a child also, under the authority of my parents. I need to submit to the authority of my parents. And God has placed the authorities in our lives, and we just need to submit if we want to keep the unity. And it speaks about here that in verse 13 it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of fullness of Christ. And it says talking about, speaking about the Lord's return, when we will come in the fullness of Christ. And the reason why he gave us these ones that can impart the word of God to us is that, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That we may be taught the word of God, and that we may stand firm, that we may not stray, and whoever we meet may not follow. And this is the thing. If we need to understand that we need to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives. And for us to move forward, we just need to say, okay, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I have no rights. I need to say that my motivation, I should continue on just loving God and loving others. I need to say that, all right, my responsibility is that I have a responsibility to fulfill for this church family, and I need to be spirit-filled that I may impart my spiritual gifts unto others. But most importantly, we just need to submit. It's a time, we live in a time where nobody submits to anything anymore. And the problem is that if we as a church family want to move forward, we just need to acknowledge that God has placed these authorities in our lives, and I'm going to submit to it. And the moment that you say and I say that I'm not submitting to the authority that God has placed in my life, I'm saying no to God. And for us to move forward, and I believe that we all want to grow spiritually in 2013. If you don't want to grow spiritually in 2013, raise your hand. Okay, that's good. And do you want to see us as a body or as a church family just move forward for Christ? Do you want to see God work in great and miraculous ways as he has in 2012? We can all agree that God has worked in marvelous ways, wondrous ways, and it's just been a blessing. But we just need to regroup and we need to say, okay, I'm going to submit to the authority that God has placed in my life. Because I want to see God work. And children, teenagers, listen, submit to the authority. This is a side sermon, sorry. But submit to the authorities that God has placed in your life. Because the authorities that God has placed in your life, they protect you from the world. Amen. And also, we need to submit to the authority that God has placed in our life. And also, it's the Word of God. Each of us have the Spirit of God. Each of us should have a time where we spend with God and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And if you don't get confirmation from God's word, don't. This is an authority that God has placed in our life. And what a blessing it is to walk into a church where we can carry our Bibles to church and we can check. Oh, Jason, he said that was wrong. That's not good what he said tonight. I can give him book, chapter, verse. And if you can, let me know, please. But the thing is, we have authority that we need to submit to. So these four basic principles, they can also be applied to our walk with God as well. That we just need to if we want to move forward and we want to be unified as a body under the head, which is Christ, the Bible teaches in verse number 15, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If we want to be unified, we just apply these four basic principles. Firstly, we need to take our position as a servant of Jesus Christ. Our motivation, secondly, our motivation should be love. Love for God and love for others. And thirdly, our responsibility is to walk in the Spirit and impart our spiritual gifts one to another. And fourthly, we need to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives. All right, thank you, Pastor.